March, so often carrying many moods and assorted weathers, has long been the most bittersweet month on my personal calendar. It goes back over 60 years, when I experienced much-needed praise and abject misery within a matter of hours, to leave me far more befuddled than usual a week after my 15th birthday. Wednesday, March the 18th, 1959, started so well at grammar school, as my essay on Gateway to Spring picked up top marks out of a crop spattered with bursting buds, nodding daffodils, uplifting bird song, and a young man's fancy turning to thoughts of cricket nets. I had a head start on most of my colleagues when it came to a background material for a seasonal exercise like this. My daily country commute by bike from Beeston to Frensham, where I caught the train to Swaffham, provided so much scribbling inspiration. Farms, fields, horses and tractors held sway most of the way as winter relented and less spiteful winds rippled across reawakening land. Mud, muffled figures and sugar beet moved over for liberating springtime, outside chores and cheery waves from men behind hedges as I pedalled past, frantically late as usual. The March weather speciality on these constant dashes for a cosy railway carriage had to be those split-shift mornings, spelling summer in the light and winter in the shade. Dramatic climate change several times within a few minutes and 2 or 3 miles. Such a sharp contrast sums up my feelings as the second half of my sweet and sour 1959 Wednesday unfolded. Basking in praise for my lyrical composition in honour of Norfolk Day's pulling out, I joined a crowd of football-mad colleagues in the school reading room to tune in to one of the most historic fixtures in Norwich City history. We had been given permission to listen to commentary on the Canaries FA Cup semi-final replay against Luton Town at St Andrews in Birmingham. The first meeting at White Hart Lane, Tottenham's ground, had ended in a one-all draw in front of a 63,500 crowd. City were bidding to become the first Division 3 side to reach this final, after toppling Manchester United, Cardiff, Spurs and Sheffield United. It was still a no-goal stalemate when I left to catch my train. By the time I reached Frensham and disembarked, for what I had hoped would be a triumphant pedal towards those famous Twin Towers of Wembley, the yellow and green tide had been turned back at last. Little Billy Bingham scored the decisive goal after 56 minutes. When I interviewed him over a decade later, in my role as Carrow Road scribe, he was then Everton manager, he claimed to have no clear memory of administering the blow designed to spell the end of that great Canary crusade. I didn't believe the genial Irishman, as I painted a tragic picture of a grief-stricken schoolboy who could hardly see the twisty road ahead on his journey home as tears welled up and splashed all over the handlebars. Dusk was calling as I wheeled up our garden path, dismounted, and disappeared on foot up Red Barn Hill to regain a measure of composure and put on a brave face for the inevitable tea-time inquest. I didn't get a chance to mention how I'd scored an impressive classroom victory earlier in the day. It paled into insignificance alongside the agonies of defeat at St Andrews in any case. Gateways to Spring still include a few skid marks of deep regret over what might have been. Pain eased a bit when I reported on Norwich City's first visits to Wembley, culminating in long-awaited success in the League Cup final against Sunderland in 1985. For all that, I tend to side with an old country boy called Jem Twaddletoes, taking a gentle stroll on a bright morning at this time of year. He's the star of a popular East Anglian poem, Spring in the Air by H.C. Buxton. My old friend David Woodward featured it regularly on our press gang entertainment rounds over 25 years. This rhapsodic saga culminates in someone, clearly impressed by the weather, pointing out big signs of winter's retreat. Forgetting old Jem is stone deaf, this determined enthusiast eventually bellows in his ear, "Spring in the air!" Jem screws up his face and replies, "Why should I?" I felt a lot like that on being told to cheer up when that epic 1958-59 cup run ended.